Well, there's definitely a listening audience out there, including other financial mortgage brokers that may not exactly agree. And then we've got obvious landlords chiming in saying that, you know, renters don't pay for roofs or water heaters or broken air conditioners. There's a lot of expenses.
That's true.
We're not denying any of those.
That's true. There are definitely advantages to renting. As we talk about owning versus renting, though, you know, as we look to retirement and as we look to the future and as we look to building equity, I think that's more of where my perspective comes from. And that one of the great ways to build wealth is through the equity in your home. And then if some of your income that you're spending is going to the equity in the home that you have, and saving and for the future that way, it's very effective. And that's more difficult to do as a renter. There are circumstances, though, for sure, where it makes more sense to rent, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
But I am telling you, get in a house. It is the first rung, and you need to get it started, right?
Agreed.
You've got that equity you can push forward into the next house. Mike, you have a comment?
I was just going to say,
Michael Reich.
Yeah, I've been renting for, 20 years now? And I'm a dream tenant because I fix all the crap in the house, minus the big stuff. I mean, honestly, but I look at the amount of money I put into someone else's mortgage, and they're right. I don't fix the big stuff, so I save money on that. But there's also a sense of pride. I mean, we're ignoring that part of it. You get to own it. I mean, I'm sick of I don't own anything. You know, I've got my car and I've got a savings account, but this has been good news to hear because, what the Herald said here now, I mean, hey, I could go buy a house pretty soon. I'm getting close.
You're right there, man.
I'm close.
And you were doctoring a credit score that needed a little doctoring, but in about a year of strategic doing smart things, I mean, you brought your score right around.
Oh, you talk with Harold Perkins and then you talk with Focus Insurance as well over there and, basically, I was just telling Jennifer, I don't think if I would have joined the show, if I'd have done anything else in life, I'd still be ignoring all those things. And boy, things have turned around for me. I'll take that. So thanks to everybody we've got on the network.
Awesome. So Harold, talk to the fact of getting into that first house. And, when you sit in that house for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 years, you build up that equity. Sell the house. Now that equity then can be moved forward into your next home, and I think it's one of the smartest estate planning strategies you can get. And it's like anything: the earlier you start funding your pension, the earlier you can get into home ownership, the earlier you get in the habit of saving, the better off you're going to be in the long run.
Absolutely. For myself personally and for my family, you know, it started with the first house when we were in our early 20s was a little tiny townhouse that suited us for what we needed then, very inexpensive then. But a couple of years later, during that time, property values were increasing, and sell that house, it gave us a little bit larger down payment for the next house that was a little bit bigger. So it still made that next house, while it's a little bit bigger, it's still affordable for our budget because we've got a little extra to put down on the down payment. A few years later, the same thing again in the house that we live in now. And so what we'll have eventually is we'll have, as time goes on, we'll have this asset that's sitting there. And then when it comes time for retirement, then it can be sold, it can be borrowed against. There's a lot of options to then realize that equity that's in the property. And at the same time, we've had a place to live the entire time. And so it's working in two directions at the same time. You got to have a place to live, and then it's also setting us up for the future on the back end. That's what homeownership is.
Well, we've got callers lining up here. Got a call from Gilbert here, from Jacob in Gilbert. Jacob, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, we've got here about a minute and a half here before we need to take a break. Let's get your question in real quick.
Yeah, me and my wife been married for 9 months and living in an apartment. We're paying $815 a month, and we're saving as much as we can. Our only bit of debt is on the car that she had when we got married. We've got about $9,000 left on that payment, and we've got about $10,000 in our savings right now. And we're just trying to kind of figure out, do we want to stay in the apartment a little bit longer? Do you want to just go to the house? We can start building that equity. We're just trying to figure out what's best for us.
Well, the you know, as you look at purchasing a home and making sure that that you're making that best decision with the money that you've got saved and with what works for your budget, you know, a couple of general rules of thumb that you want to look at is, you know, you want to make sure that your house payment is a general rule of thumb. Your house payment should be about 25% of your monthly income. And so then as you look at what you might be able to afford for a house payment, if you limit your house payment to about 25% of the monthly income, that should leave room for your other living expenses.
It keeps you from becoming a slave to your house. I'm going to ask Jacob to hang on because married 9 months, has some money in the bank saved up,
yep.
Is accustomed to making $800 a month rental payments. We're going to talk, Jacob, hang on. Next segment, we're going to talk you right into your first house, my friend.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.